Now we do appreciate seeing so many here tonight under the sound of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us turn tonight to the little book of Jonah, if you have your Bible with you. Almost at the end of the Old Testament, page 996 in my Bible. Likely the place is clean, not often read. The little book of Jonah, we'd like to read in chapter 1, first of all. Jonah chapter 1, and we'll commence our reading at verse 17. This is the verse that skeptics have denied so long. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul, the depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainteth within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of this remarkable incident in the history of Jonah, and most of all that tremendous prayer that he offered during his tenure in the fish's belly. I don't think a man ever prayed from a more difficult place. Neither has anyone ever endured such a difficult situation, and yet knew the salvation of God. At a moment when he came to see that all hope of being delivered was outside of himself, and he uttered these 5 beautiful words, which are going to be the substance of my text tonight, salvation is of the Lord. 5 beautiful words. In the prayer meeting tonight, 3 brethren quoted these words, which emphasized them upon my mind more that I would speak about them. Salvation is of the Lord. Here in that fish's belly, a man learned in 3 days and 3 nights what has taken some people years to learn. Took me almost 20 years to learn the truth of these words, that salvation is of the Lord. And some people have never yet known the truth of these 5 words. If you're going to be saved, this is a place you will come to. You will finally acknowledge that salvation is found nowhere else in this world, neither in ordinances or prayers or reformation or religion, but that salvation is totally of God from first to last. Salvation is of the Lord. So I'm going to speak of this text in a very simple way so that even the youngest, and oftentimes in a gathering like this, are those who are not theologically minded at all. And therefore we would aim at simplicity so that everyone would understand the message of salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Now first of all, I would like to say that salvation is of the Lord in its planning. Who would ever have thought of a scheme like this that we have read? Whenever Jonah was cast out of that vessel, and the mariners believed that he would be drowned, and he himself likely thought that his end had come. And suddenly, a great fish prepared by God. There's absolutely no difficulty about this fish. It was prepared by the Lord, and this fish was waiting to swallow him up. And God preserved him 3 days and three nights in the fish's belly. I take it that the fish started to swim back. I've always believed that the ship was 3 days and three nights out from port. And now the fish is beginning to swim back. And so finally when they reached the dry land, the Lord spake to the fish, and the fish vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And he could truly say, salvation is of the Lord. No angel could have planned it, and only a divine person could have wrought it. And he acknowledged that the salvation physically that he was enjoying, it was of the Lord. You know, right through our Bible, there are plans of salvation that God had for man. Wonderful plan. Some of them you already knew. Perhaps I would remind you of the plan that God arranged when he was going to drown the world. In the opening chapters of our Bible, we have some of the most serious things that are written in it. That the wickedness of man was so great upon the earth in the second millennia after its creation in the 1800 year of the world's history, the wickedness of man was so great upon the earth, and the population was an explosion like our own age, and the wickedness of man and the violence that was so great upon the earth that repented God, he had made man at the first, and he decided he would drown the world with a flood. He would cause the bowels of the great deep to break up, and the waters would rise rapidly and would cover every mountain and every part of this earth. Above Mount Everest, 22 feet above the highest mountain on the earth. Well, the flood was no local disaster, as modernists would have us believe, but it was a worldwide disaster. And here's God arranging a plan. No angel could ever have planned it. He arranged that one man would go out into the forest and take down these gopher trees and build himself an ark of gopher wood, 450 feet long and 75 feet wide and 45 feet high, with a door on the side of it, without a rudder or a stay. He would build this tremendous ark, and into that ark God would bring the animals and the birds and the insects, and Noah and his wife, and their three sons and their wives, and would shelter them in that ark. And so Noah worked and prepared that ark. And the day came when the flood came, and the door was shut. And all outside of that ark perished. And the ark was lifted up, and went upon the face of the waters. And as Noah thought of it, and he sat there, resting in it, he would say, salvation is of the Lord. Who could ever have planned an ark like this? Who could ever have planned the dimensions of it? And by the way, all shipbuilding is built according to the dimensions of that ark. Everything was absolutely perfect. And as he sat there, he wondered at the grace of God. Salvation is of the Lord. When we come a little further into the Bible, we see a day, a night, when God is going to pass through the land of Egypt, and he's going to smite every firstborn son and daughter, and the firstborn of Pharaoh, and all the firstborn of cattle. Every firstborn in the land of Egypt is going to be smitten. Even the firstborn of the Israelite will be smitten, unless there is a salvation. Who could plan that salvation in Exodus 12? Only God. And God devised a means whereby there would be a shelter. And it was through a lamb. A lamb was to be taken. And that lamb was to be kept and then finally slain between the evenings. and his blood was caught in the basin. And when we read that lovely passage, we know there were many lambs, but God speaks of a lamb, the lamb, and your lamb. It's pointing forward to another plan that I'm going to speak about. And the blood was shed and caught in that blood in the basin, and then the hyssop was to be dipped in the blood in the basin and struck upon the two side posts and the lintel of the door. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Doesn't say anything about a destroying angel that preachers have preached about for centuries. There's no destroying angel in the Bible at all. It was the Lord that passed through the land of Egypt to judge. And when he came to judge, he looked and he saw houses with blood upon them. And we read that he spread his wings over those houses. He sheltered those houses. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy in the houses in the land of Egypt. There was not one house where there was not one dead, for there was no blood. But all the blood-sprinkled houses were secure. And as they sat there, they would say, salvation is of the Lord. Through the death of a little lamb, and my acceptance of it, I have been sheltered from the divine judgment of God in the land of Egypt. Here's a woman. Her life in her past was a questionable one, but she had a desire to be saved in the city of Jericho. And two servants of God were in her house, and she began to reveal to them her fear of the judgment of God coming upon the city of Jericho. And she desired a way of salvation. Give me a true token, she said in Joshua chapter 2. And remember those spies, they drew from their pocket a scarlet thread. Who would ever have thought that a scarlet thread tied in the window on the town wall of Rahab's house would be the means of her salvation? A scarlet thread. Ye shall bind this scarlet thread in the window by which you will let us down. This same window that we are going out at, we want you to bind that scarlet thread on that window. It's a true token. When the judgment came and the houses fell down flat, that is, they went right down into the earth, there's no rubble, and here's a house standing on the town wall with a scarlet thread. And Rahab had said that she would like to bring her father and her mother and her brothers and her sisters under that scarlet thread that they might be sheltered. She believed it was God's only way of salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. In Jericho, in Egypt, in the days of Noah, and in this incident that we have read, in the minor prophet of the little book of Jonah. These plans are all pointing forward to the master plan. God's wonderful plan. That's what we've been preaching here every night. God's plan of salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. It baffles the human mind. It's a wonder to holy angels. No one on earth can ever plumb the mystery of it. This plan of the ages, what was it? That God would send his son to become the substitute and to, by the shedding of his own blood, to procure eternal redemption for the sons of men. And if I were to gather up that plan in a few words, we have them here hanging on my right-hand side. God's master plan. I love that text hanging up there. Many years ago I was speaking with one of the faithful servants of Christ, long since he has fallen asleep. And at the door going out, a young woman said to us, I got saved tonight. And my partner said, tell me, in which part of the meat? Everyone likes them to be saved in their part. What part of the meat? You know what she said? I was saved in neither part. I was saved reading John 3 and 16 hanging up behind you on the platform. And in fact, you said, I don't remember a word either of you said. You know, you're going home, I said to him, salvation is of the Lord. For God so loved the world, this is it, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the master plan, all devised by God. Those first 12 words tell us that God planned it. The central word in it, the center of everything, is the Son. Tells us of the purchased price, the Son and death upon a tree. Who would ever have thought that hanging on a shameful cross at Calvary, nailed and spiked with cruel nails and crowned with thorns, the Son of God Most High would procure a salvation for you and for me, that whosoever believeth in him, right here in this gospel meeting tonight, you can believe for yourself, salvation is of the Lord and his plan. But I must say something else, salvation is of the Lord and the outworking of the plan. In the plan that he made for Noah, Noah had to work very hard, 120 years. Oftentimes people will tell us that his sons were employed by him. In fact, I used to preach with a man who was rather a unique preacher, and he said that Noah went down to the labor exchange, and he employed all the carpenters he could get, and he had them all with straw hats in the sun hammering in nails. And at the end of the meeting, I said, there's not a word of it in the Bible. He said, what do you mean? I said, there was only one man worked at that hour. According to all that the Lord commanded Noah, so did he. Noah worked at that ark alone. For in one way, Noah is a type of the Lord Jesus, working out salvation for us. Thee only have I seen righteous. When God looked on the world, everyone was condemned, but there was one man. He's a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. His name means the rest giver. Noah's name is the man that gives us rest. And the man that was to give them rest on the ark was the man that worked it out and built it and finished it. And he did it according to the divine plan. But you know, when Noah rested in that ark, he would say, I have to work hard to be in this ark. God used me in the making of the salvation. And when we think of other salvations, think of Daniel's salvation from the lion's den. Angels were used to carry a message to those lions, to smite them with what I have called lion lockjaw. And in the den, when Daniel was there, he found that these massive brutes, they can't bite me. Why, an angel is from there. But you know, when it comes to salvation we enjoy, he had nothing to do with working. Nor any angel. No angel could our place have taken, highest of the high ocean, nailed to the cross, despised for Satan, one of the Godhead great. And those of us who are saved here, we write over our salvation, not of work. I would not work my soul to save, for that my Lord has done. But I would work like any slave, for love, to God's dear Son. The work follows him there. If you're wanting to be saved tonight, we want to make it clear that salvation is of the Lord and the outworking of the plan. He did everything, and the Savior cried, Tetelestia, finish! Everything was done. Horatius Bonner was the moderator of the Church of Scotland. Very godly clergyman. And I love one of all these things, but I like this one because it shows me the difference between true Christianity and false religion. What is the teaching of all the religions in the world? Do! Do something. But old Horatius Bonner wrote, done is the work this day, once and forever done. I love that word, done. Nothing to do, only accept. Salvation is of the Lord and it's granted without work. Salvation is of the Lord and it's bestowed. You know, many people, they can't understand this part of it. And they have carried Calvinistic teaching to such an extent that they believe only those who are to be saved will be saved. You can't make a clear gospel statement. Salvation of the Lord in its bestowal. Who will he bestow it upon? Well, the God that provided it and the Savior that purchased it, they have the perfect right to decide who will receive it. Isn't that plain? And who did they decide to have it? The whole wide world. Not a man left out to speak. There's not a woman breathing air. Red or white, rich or poor, yellow or red. I've preached it all my life. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized. You can be saved. If there was no provision, you couldn't be saved. If God had left you out of the provision, we're wasting our time. Imagine if I were to invite you to my home for supper. And I said, I want 10 people to come to my supper. And when they came, I said, I'm very sorry, I've only provision for 2. There's nothing to cover. Do you think that God would invite the world to be saved and send us into all the world to preach it, the whosoever gospel, and not have a provision made whereby to meet the need? I'm one of those who believe that on that cross, when he shed his precious blood, it enables them to reach out the hand of mercy to every sinner outside of hell. And we can say, whosoever believes in hell. I'm glad that verse is in the Bible. I'm glad that John 3:16 has never changed. And it's not here limited to any, only to those who believe. The unlimited provision, limited only to those who believe. And if you come and claim salvation, our brother preached of Esau and his birthright, and every sinner in this meeting has a birthright, and your birthright is this, as a guilty son of Adam's race, is to come and claim salvation by faith alone in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, him that cometh to me, I will in no way cast out. No one that ever came, owning his need, confessing his sin, repenting of his guilt, and coming to Christ and believing in his heart that on that cross the precious, precious blood is shed for a rebel. Oh, think of that lovely verse, John 3:36, we were reading last night, and I'm so told that that's there. He that believeth on the Son. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Only 2 companies here tonight. We're not interested in your religion at all. I never ask a man what he's religious. And I'm not interested in his background. I preached with men and the first thing they sought to know was this man a drug addict. Is his marital life, how's it? Is he divorced and all these things? And I told young men, never ask them that. None of our business. They're sinners in the sight of God. And the blood of Christ tends to the vilest soul. And when a sinner gets saved, like that, I'm one of those that believe that with all my heart. No matter how vile a man is, how sinful he is, how far down he is. When he gets to Christ, he's a new creation. And the old life is forgiven once and for all. My sins are forgiven. You're here tonight, you've got a mixed up life, a mixed up marriage, a mixed up business as far as you're concerned, and you've no peace in your mind. Come to Christ. He alters life. He changes destiny. He brings peace. He brings joy. He fills our hearts with comfort. I have known him myself now for almost 50 years. He's never changing. He's sweeter as the days go by. He walks with me and talks with me, and we enjoy his company. What do you do? Salvation of the Lord is planning. It's outworking, and it's the store. There's someone I would like to be saved, but I'm afraid I couldn't be. Salvation is of the Lord is continuing. He is able to save to the end. I know preachers say to the uttermost, guttermost and uttermost. It rhymes, but it's not in the book. The book says he is able to save to the end. Forever! You get saved tonight, he seeks you. He'll guide you. Safe to the end. Not a friend, right? If the Lord will save you and lead you, I will never leave. I will never forsake. We have been saved from the penalty of sin the night we trusted Christ. And we are being saved from the power of sin day by day. And if the Lord comes tonight, we will be saved from the presence of sin. At the rapture, maybe tonight. Salvation of the Lord in His continuance. There's something big takes place when the last day is arrived. When I sit down beside a dying man, dying, the end is drawing me in the next moment. What happens then? That person with millions of miles from here, beyond the stop. No home on earth is like it, nor can with its compare. Happens from the Lord. Salvation. Comes into the air tonight, to take his people home. One of the greatest miracles of ages will be that millions of people caught up to meet on the air. May the Lord grant that you might have this wonderful salvation, for how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?